it's good to see you here. We warmed it up for you. When she was here on a previous occasion, she thought it was a little cold, so we kind of turned the thermostat down a little bit more to welcome her back. This has been a cold January, so we pray God's keeping you warm, and that Robin will keep building that fire up for your benefit. All righty. The battle is not yours. Each year, as we begin a new year, one thing that seems in my lifetime, and particularly in the last 20 years, to become even more evident is that the spiritual warfare in our land is greater than it was the year before, and the year before that, and the year before that. The boldness of the enemy, the open warfare that has come against the church and against the ministries of Christians continues to, as it were, be stirred up and enforced in a greater and greater way. We can praise God for what has happened in the last 3 years plus, as efforts have been afoot to try to help protect religious freedom here in America, but also outside America. But that has not diminished the opposition that is there. And so the message that I have for us this morning is that the challenge in which we are living in this 21st century is huge. And we need to get a proper view, a proper vision, a proper understanding of how do we adequately, properly deal with the spiritual warfare that we face as believers. One of the themes that is likely to reappear a number of times this year, since this is 2020, is the subject of our spiritual vision. Is it 2020? In our spiritual lives, we should desire to have the same vision of things that God has. We study His Word, and we find His mind, and seek His will, and how we are to stand, and how we are to serve, and how we are to position ourselves in the warfare that we face. When we go to the optometrist, and we've got a esteemed optometrist in our midst here this morning, and when we go to the optometrist, and there's a sign up on the wall, and we are told, read line such and such, or read the smallest letters you can read, it's not a trick. It has a meaning. There is a purpose in it. And though the letters are random, the object, obviously, is that can you read those letters? What is your capacity? What is your vision quality? How well can you see? And, of course, the goal is 20/20 vision or correction to 20/20. Now, as you think in terms of doing that, and you're there, we recognize that just as that is kind of random, and I don't know, OA could probably tell us how they come up with that chart, but in our lives, there are random tests and random events that we will face. The beginning of this year, there's not a one of us in this year that will know now what all we're going to face before the year is out. And you know what I say to that? Praise God. Because if we knew anything that was negative, we'd waste a lot of energy worrying about it, wouldn't we? The Bible tells us that God's grace is sufficient for us, but the interesting thing is God doesn't give us grace to stretch out for next week. He just gives us grace for today. And His grace is one day at a time. His mercies are new every morning. And so we praise God for that confidence and the assurance that is what He has for us. So this morning, what I've chosen to do for our message is to look at the life of an individual, Jehoshaphat by name. And I'm not sure where Jumping Jehoshaphat came from, but when I was growing up, I heard that on a number of occasions. I really do not have any clue where that came from. But we want to look at this man, Jehoshaphat. And if you'll look with me by turning to chapter 17, we're going to do rather a quick overview to a point of understanding more about him. And we begin in chapter 17, and I'm going to pick up with verse 3. And it says, "And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat." Why? "Because he walked in the first ways of his father," or his forefather, David. David was not his immediate father. His father's name is given to us ahead of that in verse 1 and 2. Okay, "and he sought not Balaam." He rejected the god of Baal. "But sought to the Lord God of his father and walked in his commandments and not after the doings of Israel." And Israel, of course, is the northern kingdom. He was a king in the southern kingdom of Judah. "Therefore the Lord established the kingdom in his hand, and all Judah brought to Jehoshaphat presents. And he had riches and honor in abundance. And his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he took away the high places and the groves out of Judah. Also in the third year of his reign, he sent to his princes, even to Ben-Hail and to Obadiah and to Zechariah and to Nethanel and to Micaiah, to teach in the cities of Judah. And with them he sent Levites, even Shemaiah, Nethaniah, Zebadiah, Asael, Shemaroth, and Jehohanan, and Adonijah, and Tobijah, and Tob Adonijah, Levites, and with them Elishama, Jehoram's priest. And they taught in Judah, and had the book of the law of the Lord with them, and went about throughout all the cities of Judah, and taught the people." Verse 10. "And the fear of the Lord fell upon all the kingdoms of the lands that were round about Judah, so that they made no war against Jehoshaphat." Introduced to him, shown a reason why God could and did bless him. He desired to follow the ways of God, to oppose the ways of the enemy, and to teach his people in Judah the things that God would have instructed them to know. That was a king's duty, was to instruct and to pass on the messages that God had given. That was a built-in thing. Clear back in Deuteronomy 17, kings were to do that, to pass on the godly instruction. He did that, and the people were blessed by that. And as you notice in verse 10, he experienced rest or peace. Now let me explain something that I think is important about that. Proverbs 16:7 says, "If a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him." Friends, we desperately in America need to follow this pattern. We need the powerful instruction of God's word throughout our land. That has been miserably neglected in the last 50 years. And the consequence is we have not pleased God with our behavior, with our values, and we are reaping the consequence of that rebellion and that sin. And therefore, there is repentance that is necessary, and then that repentance would be included returning back to God and the ways of God. Now we pick up next in chapter 18. Well, let me read verse 19 real quickly. "These waited, and he assigned a number of individuals for military protection in his land." If I did my math right, there was 1,160,000 who were in military service serving there in Judah. It says, "These waited on the king beside those whom the king put in the fenced cities throughout all Judah." So militarily, there they were in a strong position. Chapter 18, verse 1. "Now Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance, and joined affinity with Ahab." What does that mean? What it means is his son married Ahab and Jezebel's daughter. Ahab and Jezebel in Israel were wicked, wicked, wicked people. The worship of Baal and false gods was bringing God's judgment upon the northern kingdom of Israel. This political marriage that was put together by Jehoshaphat, marrying his son, seemed like a good idea, but it was a terrible idea. We're going to talk about it a little bit later in the message, and that is that God says for his people, believers, to not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. This is the epitome of that very kind of a thing. Here was a godly man, and why and how he allowed himself to be suckered in on this, I don't know. Verse 2, and says, after certain years, he went down to Ahab to Samaria, and Ahab killed sheep and oxen of him for him in abundance and for the people that he had with him, and persuaded him to go up with him to Ramoth-Gilead. And Ahab, king of Israel, said unto Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, wilt thou go with me to Ramoth-Gilead? And he answered and said, I am as thou art, and my people as thy people, and we will be with thee in the war. And that was a bad choice, okay? He hooked his wagon to the wrong train. And the consequence, if you read on, and we're not going to go there, but if you read on in that chapter, is that God had one very faithful prophet, Micaiah, who gave full announced prediction of what was going to happen if they went into this battle. And what was going to happen is, Ahab, you're going to die. In fact, all the false teachers that were a part of Ahab's crew had said, you're going to go and you're going to win and everything's going to be wonderful. And Jehoshaphat said, is there not a prophet of God here that might tell the other side of the story? And I think the response is very interesting. Ahab says, yeah, there's this one guy, but he never tells me what I want to hear. I think probably we have a president that might say, never mind, I'm not going to go there any further. But the reality is, when Micaiah came up, Micaiah said, yeah, go ahead, go into the battle, have fun. And Ahab says, no, tell me like it really is. He says, okay, I'll tell you, you're going to die. And guess what happened? He died. In fact, it's very curious, and this is why we need to be warned not to affiliate ourselves with those who are the ungodly. As they went into battle, good old Ahab says, Jehoshaphat, wear all your kingly apparel, and he disguised himself. Because he thought, well, you know, as he goes into that battle at Ramoth-Gilead, the enemy is going to be looking for the king, and he's going to, you know, going to get after him. So, Jehoshaphat, you wear your finery, and I'm just going to put on my camouflage. Well, it's interesting that initially they were drawn to Jehoshaphat, and then they recognized that he wasn't Ahab, and they turned away. But if you read on, it says that toward the end of the battle, someone at a chance, means he just pulled back and let fly, and the arrow came and went right through a gap in Ahab's armor, and he held himself up in the battle to the end of the day, but died. And scripture was fulfilled, the dogs licked up his blood when they cleaned out the chariot afterwards. As we look at this scene, we find Jehoshaphat made a poor decision. Let me ask you a question. Have any of you ever made a poor, ill-advised decision? Have you ever affiliated yourself with someone that it was not really wise for you to hook your wagon to their train? Well, as we look at the situation, I want us to look to chapter 19. Chapter 19, verse 1 and 2, I think your outline just says verse 1. And Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned to his house in peace to Jerusalem. And Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, a prophet of God, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, shouldest thou help the ungodly? Let me ask you, what's the answer to that question? No. And love them that hate the Lord? What's the answer to that question? Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord. Verse 3. Nevertheless, friends, you can write mercy beside that. Nevertheless, there are good things found in thee, in that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land and hast prepared thine heart to seek God. And so God in his mercy is going to intercede here, and he's going to bless in spite of the poor choice that was made. And we will see that the consequence was Jehoshaphat turned his corner and began to return more to what he had been before he affiliated with Ahab. Verse 4, Jehoshaphat dwelt at Jerusalem. He went out again through the people from Beersheba to Mount Ephraim and brought them back unto the Lord God of their fathers. And when we look on verses 5 and following, we find that he is establishing an very important thing, and that is instructing them that they are to exercise judgment, justice, according to the word of God. In other words, the judicial system was going under review, and now they were to use God's measures to do that. Friends, that is something we need in America desperately as well. And so it was being done there. And look at verse 11. And behold, Amariah, the chief priest, is over you in all matters of the Lord, and Zebediah, the son of Ishmael, the ruler of the house of Judah, for all the king's matters. Also the Levites shall be officers before you. Deal courageously, and the Lord shall be with the good. So now we go to chapter 20. And as we go to chapter 20, we see a development, we might say a random development. It says in verse 1, and it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab, the children of Ammon, and with them others besides the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side of Syria. And behold, they be in Hazon Tamar. I don't know if that'll help, but maybe it'll make a difference. Response of Jehoshaphat, verse 3. And Jehoshaphat, what's the first thing? He feared. He humbled himself before God. And he set himself to seek the Lord and to proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. It's important that we see in those two verses twice the matter of seeking the Lord. And seeking the Lord simply means that you humble yourself, you go to his word, you go in prayer, and you seek out God's leadership and direction. Verse 5, and Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah in Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said. What follows is a prayer. And I want you to see the elements of this prayer. We're going to talk about their value to us in this 21st century. And he said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house, that's the temple in Jerusalem, and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit it. Verse 12. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are where? Are upon thee, upon God. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little children, their wives, and their children. And as we little ones, their wives and their children. And so as we look at this, here's a prayer of faith that is offered. In that prayer of faith, he's obviously recognizing God's sovereignty, God's provision, God's previous deliverance, and the promises of God are being claimed. It's interesting that as he says there in verse 9, if you were to go to 2 Chronicles 7, verse 13 and 14, we often quote verse 14. But verse 13 says, if, and then it names specific kinds of pestilence, such as this verse names, if when that happens, then if my people who are called by my name will turn. It's a commitment that God has made that he will honor humility and brokenness when people will turn in faith and independence upon him. And Jehoshaphat is calling that to memory right here in this very prayer that he is offering up. And so as he does so, the consequences began to take on a new direction. Verse 14, and then Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. In other words, here is a man upon whom the Spirit of God moves and gives him a message. Verse 15, and he said, hearken ye all Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you. This is a message from God to you. Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, it's whose? It's God's. Friends, listen to me. What is going on in America? What is going on in the Middle East? What is going on in this world? It's a sovereign God that we need to be looking to. It's a sovereign God that we need to be dependent upon. It's a sovereign God that we need to study his name and his character and his faithfulness and his actions in time past. It's before that God that we need to bow and humble ourselves and seek his will and his direction. And as we look at this passage of Scripture, it just seems so bold to me in the light of what's going on in our world, how desperately we need to return to what is being told us here by the Spirit of God. Be not afraid, it says, nor dismayed. We find that one of the things that is going on in America is there are a multitude of people that are so depressed and so overwhelmed with the circumstances of this society, they're committing suicide. And many others, as they are doing battle with it or perceive that it's a hopeless case, have given themselves over to all kinds of so-called releases, whether it's drugs or sex or party lifestyle. They have tried to solve the problem in a materialistic kind of a way. The message, tomorrow go ye down against them, and behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and you shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. So here's where they're going to be. This is what you need to do. Verse 17, and this seems so bizarre, but look at what it says. You shall not need to fight in the battle. Now he says you're supposed to go down there, but what is he saying? You're not supposed to fight. How many of you think that sounds like a contradiction? Seems inconsistent. It seems, well, the battle is not yours but God, but you still need to go down there. Okay? And as you go down there, verse 17, you shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Friends, it does not say, if you'll hide, God will go take care of it. Amen? You're to go into the battle. We'll look at Ephesians chapter 6 in a little bit. And one of the things that's missing in this armament that is described there, spiritual warfare, the garments that God has given, you have no protection for your backside. Anybody know why? You're not supposed to be running. You're not supposed to turn your back to the battle. You're supposed to be pressing into the battle instead of running from it. So they're being challenged what to do. What does Jehoshaphat do? He bowed his head with his face to the ground, and the people joined him as they worshiped God. Now, friends, listen to me. I want you to get your mind and spirit into the situation. They seem to have a hopeless thing. They have been overwhelmed with it. And yet, all of a sudden, their heart is turned to worship instead of panic. They've been told, don't be discouraged, don't be afraid. And now they are automatically, as it were, it seems, beginning to worship. Verse 20. And I want you to see something. In verse 20, I want you to underline, they rose early. Verse 21, I want you to underline, and when. Verse 22, underline, and when. Verse 24, underline, and when. And verse 25, underline, and when. Chapter 26, and underline, on the fourth day. Why am I making a big point about that? Because, friends, here's the reality. God calls us to action. And when we obey God, God does amazing things. Without faith, it's what? According to the Word of God. It's impossible to please God. What is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Because if you could see Him, you wouldn't be hoping for Him. And the and when is they were being obedient to what God told them to do. And as they stepped in obedience, then God carried it from there. That is our need in 2020. We need to have the vision that God calls us to step into the battle. And when we do, God will take it from there. Now I want you to see, and I was drawn to 2 Chronicles 20:20, the second part of it, because it says, believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established, believe his prophets, or literally the word of God, so you shall prosper. Underline that and make that a goal for you in 2020. Let me read it one more time. Believe in the Lord your God. Secondly, believe his prophets, believe the word of God. And the result will be you shall be established and you shall prosper. In other words, God's blessing will be upon you. Okay, verse 21. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. He says, who sings alto? Who sings bass? Who sings? Okay, he consulted the people. What's he putting together? A choir. Okay, and he gets the volunteers. And they're marching and heading out and leading ahead of the warriors. Let me ask you, who led in the crossing of the Jordan River? I'll get it there. Who led out when they crossed the Jordan River? Anybody remember? The priest with the Ark of the Covenant. Okay. Who led out at the Battle of Jericho? Because they marched around and marched around and marched around. Who was in lead? The priest, okay? Who's leading here as they go out? The singers, okay? These are invited, and they stir themselves up, and they go forth. Verse 22, and when they began to what? Sing and to praise, then the Lord responded. Friends, God is not handicapped, limited in any way, shape, or form to deal with the enemy. There is nothing too hard for God. And when they began to praise, get the vision of what is being said here. The result was these armies that were coming against Judah, these armies all began to shoot at each other. They began to hack one another up in pieces. That's exactly what this is saying. They began, the Lord said, ambushments stirred them in, and they were smitten. They smit one another. And in verse 23, the children of Ammon stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, shooting there or fighting against them there. Utterly they to slay and to destroy them. And when they'd made an end of them, everyone turned on the other one, and they destroyed another. How many of you know this kind of battle is going to be happening again later on? It's prophesied. Read Ezekiel 38 and 39. You know what's going to happen when the armies of the north come down? God's going to get involved. And when? And the result is they will turn on one another and destroy one another. The children of Israel won't have to fire shot. That's going to happen. I don't know about you, but I got excited. I was ready to start my rapture practice with my new knee because this past week I was listening to commentators regarding this situation of the assassination, that's what they wanted to call, the removal of this terrorist from Iran. And they began to say, now here's what's going to happen. Because this is happening here, then this may happen here, and this may happen here, and China and Russia are going to be coming down. I say, bring it on, bring it on, bring it on. How many are in favor? Why am I saying I'm in favor of that? Because, friends, when that's happening, I'm there. Amen? That is going to be happening down here. I'm going to be there. Those armies are going to turn themselves one upon the other, and they will destroy each other. God's got it covered. You say, but Pastor, who knows what's going to happen this year? Huh? God has everything very, very much in his control. He knows what is going on. God never wakes up and says, oh my, I hadn't thought about that. Somebody said, has it ever occurred to you that nothing ever occurred to God? Because the reality is God knows what 2020 brings about. He has a vision of what the whole year is going to look like. We lack that full vision and understanding, but he does not. And when we trust in him, when we believe the Lord, and when we believe the prophet's word, what he's spoken to us, then we find his blessing come upon us. And as we look forward, verse 24, and when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked upon the multitude, and behold, there were what? Dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. Let me share something with you. The armies of Judah could not have done that good a job if they'd have done it themselves. In other words, God was totally sufficient. And he did far more than the armies of Judah could have done. And if you read on, the consequences you read on is in verse 25, then for 3 days they gathered up the spoils of war. It took 3 days to pick up all the silver and the gold and the other things that were involved. And on the fourth day, verse 26, they assembled themselves in the valley of blessing. That's what Barakah means. For they blessed, they worshiped the Lord. Therefore, the name of the same place was called the Valley of Barakah unto this day. Then they returned, every son of Judah and Jerusalem and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them, to go again to Jerusalem with what? Joy. For the Lord hath made them to rejoice over their enemies. And they came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harps and trumpets, unto the house of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they had heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest round about. When the man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Celebration. Okay? Now, there's one thing that unfortunately still appears. And that thing which still appears, pick up with me in verse 35. And after this did Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, join himself with Ahaziah, king of Israel, the northern kingdom, who what? He learned, apparently, not the lesson that he had when he joined in affinity with Ahab. And he joined himself with him to make ships to go to Tarshish. They made the ships in Ezion-Geber. Then Eleazar, the son of Dodavah of Mereshah, prophesied against Jehoshaphat, saying, because thou hast joined thyself unto Ahaziah, the Lord hath broken thy works, and the ships were broken that were not able to go to Tarshish. What do we need to learn from a review of Jehoshaphat's life? Well, number one, I'm going to list off a few things. Number one, we are to beware of joining our forces, going into connection, affinity, and agreement with the ungodly. With the ungodly. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 14, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath what? Righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. It's a whole sermon just to break that down into pieces, but the bottom line is this. As believers, we have no business hooking ourselves up, being equally yoked with an unbeliever, whether that is in marriage, and specifically it has application there, whether that's in business, it has application there. We need to be aware of something. Now, listen, as I walk just through this, this is where it gets to be challenging, because we are called to be salt and light. We're called to be in the world, but what? Not of the world. We're called to be those that have an influence upon the times in which we live. And yet, in the process of all of that, we cannot sign up and agree with their ways and methods, because to do so, we deny our identity with the Lord. And therefore, we can bring shame upon the name of the Lord. We can agree with other people about things that we oppose. But friends, that is not the same as sitting down and signing up and hooking our wagon to their cart, so that whatever they're involved with, we will get involved with. That's where it gets ticklish. And one of the things that is happening, and I trust that most of you are picking up on this very well, we have an election coming up. Did any of you hear about that? Somewhere in November, we're going to have an election coming up. All right? Now, friends, listen to me. As we think about that, there's a lot of feedback and input that's going on. And there are people that are saying evangelical Christians have no business supporting the present president. Okay, here's my question. So if you don't support him, who are you going to support? Who are you going to hook up with? What does the other party represent by their platform and by what they're proclaiming in their campaigning? That's a very, very important thing for us to understand. You say, well, but Trump's done something wrong. Name somebody that hasn't. Amen? But has he done anything right? Depends on who you talk to, right? Talk to the media, no. All right? Has he done anything right? Friends, I liked a comment that was made by Penny Nance, who's the head of the Concerned Women of America. Concerned Women of America, CWA. All I was had something jumped in my head, and I was trying to make it rhyme with cow, and I thought, no, it doesn't do that. COA, Concerned Women of America, CWA, Concerned Women of America. She says, we're not, and we picked this president, we're not picking a husband. I like that, okay? I like that. We're not picking a husband. But what we are picking is a bodyguard. And I like that. Okay? I like that. And what we are involved with, friends, is we are in the midst of great spiritual warfare. The battle is on, and this command that we have is to not be unequally yoked. Jehoshaphat got himself twice in big trouble because that's what he did wrong. He thought, I'll make this political arrangement and that'll resolve my issue. No, it created problems both times. We need to stick with what God says is right and honor what he calls us to do. In doing so, then we can move to step number two. We need to listen to when the Lord gives a rebuke or a correction to us. When he had made the mistake of the political marriage to begin with, when he was confronted, he changed his way. He changed his way. And we are commanded to likewise be aware that if we need to change, we better change. Hebrews 12:5 says, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. If I go back to my original optometrist scenario, if I go in to COA and he examines me and he says, okay, which line can you read? And I cannot read as well as I would like to. If I start yelling at OA, well, how come you made that chart so I couldn't read it? What would OA tell me? Why did you come in here? What did you really want to find out? If you just want to, you know, if you want to just read the top line, or I'll write it bigger if that's what you want, if you leave. But when we have correction from God and we find out we've hooked our wagon to the wrong train, we need to humble ourselves and back out. We need to confess it. We need to acknowledge it. We need to back away from it. It's interesting that in Proverbs, there's great wisdom in Proverbs chapter 9. Verse 6 says, forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding. He that reproveth the scorner getteth into himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. Chapter 15, Proverbs, verse 5. A fool despises his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. Verse 31. The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. He that refuses instruction despises his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. If you want to have 2020 spiritual vision this year, then you need to be willing to listen to any reproof God brings you, whether it's what you read in the scripture, what you read in a devotional, what you hear from a preacher, whatever it might be, a friend or a brother or family member is pointing out a spiritual problem in your life, you need to own it, and you need to repent of it, and you need to turn right. When the enemy begins to come in and attack, then we need to recognize a proper response. In Exodus chapter 14, verse 13 and 14, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Go with me to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel. We find there a young man by the name of David. Chapter 17, verse 45. Then said David to the Philistine, Goliath, thou comest to me with the sword and with the spear and with the shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saved not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And one other example, Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah chapter 59. A number of years ago, I was in a midst of a spiritual battle that was going on. And I was seeking God. And God led me to these verses that I'm sharing with you right now. Isaiah 59, beginning with verse 16. It says, "And he saw there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and an helmet of salvation upon his head, and he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with the zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay. Fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the islands he will repay recompense." Verse 19. "So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun." Listen to this last verse. "When the enemy shall come in like a flood." What's the promise? "The Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him." When the enemy comes in like a flood, when we humble ourselves before God, when we cry out in dependence upon him, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. God will fight for us in the battle. And when and when and when, as we stand in obedience to God, the battle's not yours, the battle is the Lord's. And we have to remember that. And as we do so, then we just can celebrate the victory that God brings forth. So we fear him and we seek him. The Bible says in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, "Trust in the Lord with what? All thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. All your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths." That's exactly what Jehoshaphat did. And God blessed and God honored it. We go to the Lord in prayer, and we read the prayer that was offered there in verse 6 through 11 in 2 Chronicles 20. But friends, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, we're given a pattern of something to pray. Be anxious for what? Nothing. What does that mean? One translation says, take care and nothing. Some says, don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer, with supplication, and what? Thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Be anxious for nothing. What was the instruction that was given to Jehoshaphat, to the people? Be courageous. Be bold. Trust in the Lord. Watch what God does. In your dependence upon him, see what will come forward. And that is still the challenge that we need to have in our life. Are you saying, then you might say, "Pastor, does that mean I'll not have any problems this year?" Nope, doesn't mean that at all. But it means whatever problems you have, God is bigger than. And God will give you grace in the midst of that trouble to deal with it. The next thing that I want us to recognize is that as we humble ourselves and as we pray before the Lord, we commit the judgment of our enemies unto God. Scripture says in Romans 12, beginning with verse 18, "If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." We go to the battle. We stand in the battle with our trust and dependence upon the Lord, and we watch to see how God is going to bring this out ultimately for his glory. And when we rightly position ourselves before the Lord, it's amazing what God can do. There was a song, used to be very popular. Maybe we need to revive it again. "It is no secret what God can do." How many of you remember singing that when you were younger? How many of you would say it's still apropos now that we're older? It's still no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he can do for you. How many of you believe that's true? The same God that did the fabulous things that we read about in the Word of God is able to do those fabulous things in our lives as well. He's not limited in any way, shape, or form. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 10. Finally. Or another way of saying that is to sum it all up. To wrap it all up together in a very good understanding package. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of what? His might. Not your might, his might. Put on the what? Whole armor of God, for you that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the tricks, the devices, the gimmicks of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. I want to ask you a question. If you were able, or let me say it a different way, if we were able, if we were able to see on TV or large screen, if we were able to see into the Middle East in the events that are happening, if we were able to see into the heavenlies of what's going on in the Middle East right now, what do you think we'd see? How many of you understand that what's going on in the Middle East is mega spiritual warfare? We've got the different groups among the Muslims. We've got the nation of Israel. We've got America. But we've also got other interests that are loaded and ready to try to move in there to get their finger in the pot. You got the Russians. You got the Chinese. You go on and you got. And if you could see into the heavenlies, you would see all of these hosts of wickedness up there, each one pushing and pulling and trying to make their move to get what they want. You know what? I've read the book and we win. We win. And therefore, as we look at those things happening, though it might initially cause us anxiety, we need to just say, whoa, 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 just a second. Be anxious for what? Nothing but everything. By prayer and supplication. Believing in the Lord. Trusting in what he says. Believing in his prophets. He's got it covered. We must trust in him. And when we do, we'll find out it's going to work out just the way he planned and the way he ultimately is going to use it for his glory. So we have warfare going on. It's not just in the Middle East, by the way. There is a little of it in Washington, D.C. as well. And California. And Colorado. And we can go on and on and on. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, what do? Stand. Don't run. Don't quit. Stand, therefore, and notice every provision that is made for us is from God. Your loins girt about with truth. You have on the breastplate of righteousness. Your feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You take the shield of faith, with which you're able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And Paul says, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Friends, we're involved in spiritual warfare. And it's not going away anytime soon. And if you read 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says, this know in the last days, perilous times will come. And then it goes on to elaborate, and they will get worse and worse. And we're there. But you know what? The good news is we can believe what God has recorded. We can look at the examples of how God has delivered and how God is able to deliver now according to his purpose and plan. I don't know what that final word is. He does. And I'm trusting him for that. And we need to trust him for that as well. Having 2020 spiritual vision this year, go back with me if you would to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I'm going to read the end of that 20th verse. Believe in the Lord your God. so shall you be established. Secondly, believe his prophets, or literally believe the word of God, so you shall prosper. That's your assignment for this year. 2020 vision is going to be evident as you do those two things. Believe in the Lord your God, what he has declared, who he is, what he's promised. And believe what he's prophesied, what he's proclaimed he's going to do. And stand in the middle of that. And when you do that, watch for the deliverance of God. Watch for the victory that God is going to bring to you. What challenge do you have today? What challenge might you have tomorrow, or the next day, or next month? We don't know. Last year, my challenge was partly having a knee replacement. This year, I was thinking I was going to have my other knee replaced. I just learned that my shoulder is going to get redone before my knee gets redone. Now, I've been thinking about something in this last week. Grover, you and I need to have a conference. But I'm told for 4 to 6 weeks, this is where my hand is going to be, tied to my body. I'm right-handed. And I'm married to a left-hander. I've got a problem here. But you know, when I was getting ready this morning, I said to Shelley, they said I'm supposed to have that down 4 to 6 weeks. When do I put on deodorant? You're right, Barb. She goes like this. I'm thinking about that. Shaving. You know? I may be noseless. Shaving. See, well, you got an electric shaver, not to worry. Try it. Use your opposite hand and see what it looks like. I asked the doctor's assistant, so how soon can I drive? Oh, well, we'll not know that till after your first post-op appointment. That'll be a week to 10 days. So I'm back to trying to get to 2 Chronicles 2020. Okay? Friends, we have no idea what's ahead of us this year. Now, you know what I'm in favor of? I'm in favor of the rapture. I'd like to skip all of that stuff. But if it doesn't happen, then whatever happens, I'm still going to have to trust in God. And you know what else? I'm still going to have to show up every day to believe and obey what he asked me to do. And if I fail in doing that, it's sin. No excuse is acceptable. And that's true for every one of us in the room this morning. We're called to battle this year. May we have 2020 vision as we go into the battle. Spiritual vision that believes in the Lord your God and believes in the word that he's promised us, and watch the victory that he can give. Let's pray. Father, you're an awesome God. When we look at the life of Jehoshaphat and many, many, many others in your word, we look and we see people that have feet of clay. We see times when they were so obedient and they were so faithful and they were so blessed. And then we see other times when they were so foolish and they made wrong affiliations and they joined themselves with those that were opposite of what they should have been. And Lord, they reaped consequences in the process. Lord, we've made poor decisions in the past. We've joined ourselves with others that we should not have affiliated with. We have made bad choices. We have, when we had the vision from your word that we ought to do one thing, we've chosen to do the opposite. Lord, we acknowledge all of that, and we know that whenever we've done it against you, it's been wrong and it's been sin, and we've reaped some negative consequences. Lord, for this year, may we see clearly, and may we purpose to obey obediently what you point us to as you give us 2020 vision. And Lord, we're going to trust you for you to fulfill your promises and to keep your word. And we'll give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn with me to our closing hymn, please.